Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee for Natural Resources. We're in session, and I am going to open a public hearing and testimony on Senate Bill 5528. Everyone deals with the Land Use Board of Appeals. So if you're flying to Atlanta, you're in the wrong airplane. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Gregory and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. Gregory Jolivet with the Legislative Fiscal Office. Senate Bill 5528 relates to the budget for the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA. LUBA is a three-member board that hears appeals of land use decisions by state agencies and local governments. The budget supports a total of six positions, which includes the three attorneys on the board. There is a staff attorney, a paralegal, and a support staff. The current service level budget of about $1.9 million is almost exclusively general fund. There is a small amount of other funds revenue, which is generated from the sale of LUBA reports. For 2017-19, LUBA is seeking minor adjustments to reclassify an executive support position and to cover continuing legal education. Mr. Holston, Chair of the Board, is here to present today.
Thank you very much. Mr. Holston, please. Welcome to our subcommittee.
Thank you.
And when you're ready, please proceed.
Okay. Chair Frederick, Chair Witt, members of the committee, my name is Mike Holston. I'm the current board chair of the Land Use Board of Appeals. We rotate that position among the three board members. Am I getting picked up here?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm here to testify in favor of Senate Bill 5528. I've prepared a PowerPoint presentation to highlight the mission, structure, and challenges facing LUBA. With your permission, I'll begin that PowerPoint presentation now, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that come up during the presentation. LUBA's been around for 38 years now. LUBA was created in 1979. It was given exclusive jurisdiction to review land use decisions. That term is defined pretty broadly. And our review replaced the procedure for review of land use decisions that was in place in that time, and that was almost exclusively through writs of review in circuit court. We have three board members. They're all attorneys. They're required to be attorneys, and they're all members of the Oregon State Bar. Oops. The organization is set up there. You can see the three board members. We have the two administrative staff, an executive support specialist, and a paralegal. And we have a staff attorney currently. The general estimate that's given on the number of land use decisions rendered each year is about 10,000. We've got 240 cities, 36 counties making those decisions. A few decisions of special districts and state agencies make their way to LUBA as well. The first critical principle that was applied at LUBA is that the land use decision should be consistent with applicable land use legislation. And that legislation can be statutory, can be statewide planning goals, administrative rules, usually LCDC rules, and a host of local land use regulations. The direction in the statute is that we're to resolve land use appeals according to sound principles of judicial review. The intent is that by LUBA review, you quickly get through the appellate system so that whatever proposal is being proposed can go ahead and begin construction. Or if the proposal doesn't comply with land use laws, they can be quickly identified what the flaw is so they can be fixed. This is a schematic of the review process at LUBA. Once the local government adopts the decision, there's typically a 21-day period to appeal that decision to LUBA. Once an appeal is filed, the local government has 21 days to prepare the record. Our review is on the record, so the record is what we'll be looking at. The boxes at the top show that frequently there are objections to the record. Either documents should not be in the record that are in the record, or that the record is missing documents. So we have to take time to resolve that since the review is on the record. After the record's settled, there's a 21-day period to file the petition for review in the appellant. There's then 21 days for the city or the intervener to file their brief. We conduct oral argument, and then LUBA issues its decision within 77 days of the date the record's settled. And this pretty much shows that same appeal. Our first performance measure is to resolve appeals timely. The factors that affect that performance measure are the caseload, the number of appeals. In an average year, we have about 200 appeals. The staffing that we have, we're at full staff, historical full staff now. And then the complexity of the appeals. Some appeals take one day to resolve, some appeals take over a month. The target is the issue with 90% of our final opinions within the statutory deadline. And for the first six quarters of the current biennium, we're very close to that at 86%. I'm a rookie at this. Where we got? Okay. The second performance measure is to settle the record timely. We have a goal of resolving the records with record objections within 60 days. The target is to do that at least 95% of the time, and in the first six quarters of this biennium, we met that performance measure. Our third performance measure is to decide all issues presented in appeal. A judicial court, frequently when they resolve an issue that requires remand, will stop. They won't resolve all the issues. The legislature adopted a statute several years ago that directed that LUBA resolve all issues if we can do so within the time limits. Our target for this performance measure is 100%, and we've met that performance measure for the first six quarters. Performance measure four is to decide the appeals correctly. The goal is to have LUBA's opinions that are appealed to the Court of Appeals sustained. That furthers the central goal of speedy resolution of the land use disputes. The factors affecting that performance measure are caseload, again, staffing, and new statutory and administrative enactments, and we probably should have listed there big changes in applicable land use laws as well. Anytime there's a change in the law, typically there's a settling out time for resolving any ambiguities in that law. Our target is 90%, and we're meeting that performance measure during the current biennium. Customer service. The nature of a LUBA appeal is that at least one of the parties is going to go away unhappy with the result. So we strive to make sure that at least they feel like they got a fair shake at LUBA. We have six measurement variables there: accuracy of the information we give out, availability of the information, expertise of our staff, helpfulness of our staff, the timeliness of getting information to people, and an overall. The target is we get 90% excellent or good ratings. And we've met that target for all variables this current biennium. I'd point out here, too, that staff attorney is a factor on this performance measure. Our administrative staff can help with a lot of requests for information. But a lot of times they're more tricky questions that require someone with a little more training than our administrative staff have. And it's even tricky for our staff attorneys. We strive not to assist one party in the appeal. We have to remain objective. So the staff attorney has to walk a fine line between giving up appropriate help and advice and crossing that line. And that's a difficult line to walk. Our other goals are to provide quick and easy access to LUBA's final opinions. We frequently speak at legal education and other land use seminars. We conduct oral arguments locally. We try to get out several times a year to take our oral arguments to a city or a county that's had their decision appealed to us. It's been uniformly well received. It helps to sort of demystify the process for the people that actually put those decisions together. We compile what's called a headnote digest. It's short summaries of major principles in the decision, and we make that available on our website. Our cost containment strategies, with Westlaw and Lexis, the legal research outfits, we have had long agreements with them for providing our opinions to them in a digital format that helps them get our opinions on their databases. We get a reduced rate of for legal research that we use them for. Our website now includes copies of all our opinions, so you don't have to. You can just go on our website and either download or make a copy of the opinion. We used to keep the local records that were filed in LUBA appeals, but as you can guess, some of those records are huge, and we were running into enormous costs over at the archives with the storage. So about 10 years ago, we started returning those records to the local governments or asking them if we could just recycle them, and that's what we do. We either have them come get the record at the end of the appeal or we recycle it. Recently, we started accepting electronic records, and that makes things even better. It's almost no storage space when you've got a record on a floppy disk. We've streamlined our archiving. We used to archive everything. We now only archive the final opinion and the briefs. Yeah, I was a hard sell for that because I tend to be a pack rat and save everything, but we were finding that almost no one went back in those files to see anything other than briefs, really. We've streamlined our publication process, and on the conference calls now we use the state Meet Me line instead of absorbing the cost ourselves for conference calls. For a long time, we've had law student interns at LUBA. You're looking at a couple of them. And we now have a land use fellowship with the Willamette Law School as well. Those interns get some training at LUBA, and we get some assistance in working on our opinions. The budget drivers. We are a uncanny measure of the health of the economy. When the economy is humming and the population is growing, we've got lots of appeals. It's directly rated. New legislation. Every time we've had major changes in the land use laws, there's a period of time where ambiguities in those laws have to get worked out, and that does affect our caseload. Some example, what's typically referred to as the big land use bill that was adopted in 1993, generated a fair number of appeals. Less with measures 37 and 49 directly because those cases were routed directly to the Court of Appeals or circuit courts. We have a number of cases involved with the recent marijuana legislation. And this is the graph that shows the LUBA appeals filed. We've been down for quite a few years in the recession. Last year, we were back up to 129 appeals. It seems like we're headed back more toward the normal 200 appeals or so. And legislation that we've seen already this year that may have some effect on our caseload is there's a bill to amend the way we award attorney's fees and potentially allow LUBA to award economic damages. There are amendments to non-conforming use law. There's legislation directed at Metro's coordination. And there are going to be a number of housing bills, all of which could have some impact on our caseload. And that's all I have on the PowerPoint. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very, very much. Committee members, questions or comments? Senator Girard?
Yeah, I'm new on the committee, and I just want to make sure I understand this. Once you go through the LUBA process, that your decision can be appealed as well. Is that my? And if that's the case, my question is, do you have to be part of the process to appeal that decision?
Co-Chair Witt, Senator Girard, members of the committee, the answer to that question is our decisions may be appealed to the Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. On average, 15 to 20 of our mm-hmm. decisions each year get appealed to the Court of Appeals. The appellate process at the Court of Appeals, you would have to have been a party at LUBA to appeal to the Court of Appeals.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Esquivel.
I just wanted to let you know that when I was on the city council and you agreed with us, I agreed with you. When you didn't, I disagreed with you.
Co-Chair Witt, Representative Esquivel, we're used to that.
anything further from the committee? I'm not seeing anything. So I have to assume that you've done an exceptionally good job here. Mr. Medina.
Co-Chair Witt, Co-Chair Frederick, members of the committee, for the record, let me get closer. For the record, my name is Anthony Medina, and I'm an analyst in the Chief Financial Office. Today, I'll be going over the governor's recommended budget for the Land Use Board of Appeals. For the agency, one of the emerging issues is that the number of land use appeals is generally has a positive correlation with economic factors. The governor's budget maintains existing services and adds limited resources to their budget. Here's an expenditure history for the agency. As you can see, in 17-19, the governor's budget supports 15-17 LAB with minor enhancements. And here's an expenditure broken down by category. Roughly 90% of the agency's cost are personnel service related. The governor's budget supports current services and adds investments for the continued legal education POP. This policy option package enhances its other funds and enhances board members' other funds and is for board members to maintain Oregon State Bar standards. Policy package 101 is a reclassification of an executive support specialist 1 to an executive support specialist 2. The position was reviewed, and the reclassification reflects current duties. And there's adjustments for DAS price list and state government service charges. With that, concludes my presentation, and I can answer any questions the committee might have.
Thank you very much. Committee members? I'm not seeing anything. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the very fine job that you've done here.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to call forward, please, Peggy Lynch. Is there anyone else present from the public who wishes to comment today? All right.
I get to be it.
Welcome.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'm Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan grassroots political organization, almost 97 years old, that encourages informed and active participation in government. The League has a number of positions on citizen access and land use planning. We believe that the Land Use Board of Appeals provides a mechanism for addressing concerns related to local land use decisions in a timely manner. Decisions are made by judges whose expertise is in land use law. Their mission is simplify the appeals process, speed resolution of land use disputes, and provide consistent interpretation of state and local land use laws. Our land use program is really a citizen-driven enforcement program. unless citizens come before their local jurisdiction and or eventually LUBA. Issues are not resolved or taken care of if a law isn't followed. And so appeals are important, or the ability to have an appeal is important. And so because of that, we support the Land Use Board of Appeals. We are pleased that the staff attorney is continuing because the board attorneys themselves cannot talk to citizens. And remember, citizens are developers as well as obstructionists that some people might see. There are a variety of people who appeal to LUBA. And the staff attorney does help to make sure that everybody understands what the process is and what they need to provide to LUBA. So with that, we ask for your support for this budget, and thank you very much. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments for Ms. Lynch? Representative Helm, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Peggy, thanks so much for your comments, and I just want to amplify them here for the board. For those of you who may not know, I spent my entire legal career practicing in and around the Land Use Board of Appeals, and it's been a pleasure to do so. It's an extremely well-run agency, efficient, and Mike tends to underplay how good they are. They are a mini court of appeals for land use, and it's reflected in their affirmance rate that he gave you. It's super high. What I wanted to point out to the members of the committee is, from time to time, we have aggravated constituents, maybe neighbors, or maybe developers, or maybe local governments that come to us, and they're a little frustrated with what's going on in a local land use process, or frustrated by an opinion that comes out of LUBA, and LUBA tends to get blamed for that. That's incredibly unfair. They are a problem-solving agency that actually speeds the pace of development in this state. And for those gripers, I would just say, imagine if we did not have the Land Use Board of Appeals. Those same legal gripes would have to be taken up in some other legal forum in the circuit courts, which would be far more costly and time-consuming than what we have now. So we have a real gem in this state, and whatever we can do to retain it, I think, would be money well spent.
Well, thank you very much. And I think based on Mr. Holston's presentation and what you and Ms. Lynch have indicated, it is a process that seems to be working for the greatest number. So thank you for that.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, just a quick add-on. So I have been doing, as a volunteer, been following land use since 1972, before LUBA. So I have seen the change that LUBA has brought, which is really positive. And on a personal note, I have only been to LUBA once. So because most of my issues are resolved at the local level. But it is really important, because very often local commissions and boards are, and councils are, pressured by citizens who, for political reasons, find it really hard to follow their own development code or comp plan, particularly if they weren't the ones that originally wrote them. So it's really helpful to have LUBA be able to go to those books and say, this is what you said, and this is what the ruling ought to be. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Again, anyone else from the public who would like to testify today on Senate Bill 5528? Last and final call for today's testimony. Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing and testimony on Senate Bill 5528. Committee members, good of the order?
For the good of the order. Mr. Chair,
please.
I know that you all got lists of the Ways and Means Committee meetings around the state. If you can make it, that's fine. I do plan on, depending on family issues, but I do plan on attending all of them. The ones that are relatively close here, in Salem on tomorrow night, and in Portland on Saturday. But they are around the state, and if you can make it, that's great. I will tell you that having traveled to it 2 years ago, or two sessions ago, it was really enlightening to get a sense of what the issues are out there and how people are responding to our solutions. So I would encourage you to go, if possible.
Thank you, Co-Chair Frederick, very, very, very much. And before I forget, the very best to you and your family.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing nothing there. Gregory, coming events.
So, members, next week you'll be hearing the Department of Parks and Recreation, and along with that, there may be some grant requests that could come up at that work session as well.
All right. Questions or final comments from the committee? Not seeing any. Mr. Holston, it's not always painful coming to the legislature. Thank you for your good job that you're doing. With that, I'm going to close the adjourn the Joint Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Thank you all very much, Committee on Natural Resources.